speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
John 6, beginning in verse 6, he said, and this he said to prove him. That is, are we going to have to go buy bread? And Philip, he himself knew what he would do, or Jesus did. And Philip answered him, 200 shillings worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here who hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, and what are these among so many? This, of course, didn't seem to be impressive to Philip or Andrew either. It wasn't impressive to them, and therefore they didn't think it would be impressive to the Lord. But there is a lad here who knows what shall be of those in the future who are now lads and lassies in this world. So we realize that everyone at one time was a young person, and everyone had to prepare. Everyone had to go forward and try to make the success of life that they ought to make. And of course, with the help of the Lord, they can make a success. And if they are trusting and putting their hope in Him, then they have a reason to live and a reason to die and a reason to know that things are good in life and not against them at all. Well, when we find Jesus answering these who said they're just a small amount of food here, He said, set them down. Sit them on the ground. And then, of course, here we have 5,000 people plus women and children. And yet Jesus says, give them to eat. Now, He knew what He was going to do, but the disciples didn't know at this time what He was going to do. And so they are trying to offer any solution that they can. And they offered this solution of the young lad without thinking that Jesus would be able to use him, but He did. So when we see this young man, he is not a Peter or James or a John or a Paul, not at this time. He's just a lad. But you know what? All of these men started out as lads. They started out in their life, and they did not have success from the beginning. But so far as their lives being directed by the Lord was concerned, then, of course, they were great successes in what they did. This lad, then, is important to us because he did not know he was going to be of help to the king that day. He didn't even know that he would come in contact with him. But here he is. He maybe knows Andrew and some of the others that are there, but he had no intention or idea that he would be a part of a miracle of the Lord. Nor did he ever dream when he started out that morning that before the day was over, he would have a place in history and be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there he would be ever known for that which he did. Although we don't know his name, we do know there was a lad there. And you know, it's worthy of our thinking tonight to note that the apostles and the disciples here really didn't think that the Lord was going to act upon this with power. They seemed to be blinded to the power He had and to the things that His abilities would grant for Him to do. And it is interesting, I think, to notice from 1 Corinthians 1 that He is able to take things that are not and make them as though they were. He is able to take those things that people consider as insignificant, such as this lad here, and He's able to make it into that which is important. It says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27 through 29, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world, that is, to the weak, to those of the world who are not what they ought to be. He chose those things that the world would have never chosen to humble those who think they're wise. And then He says further, God hath chosen the weak things, that is, esteemed by men to be weak, of the world, to confound the things of the wise or the mighty, those who think they're mighty. And He took the base things of the world and things which are despised. God hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. In other words, God could take a nobody, like this lad was considered to be by the world, and make of him a great and important person. And so He did here. And when we see the willingness of this lad to answer the call of Christ, to use his abilities, to use his substance in his service, when he answered that call, of course, it resulted in one of the greatest success stories that has ever been told in life. Here is a young lad, did not know he was going to be a success, but in this one day of Christ using him and his substance, he surrendered it all, and the Lord was able to use it. You know, today, I say, of course, for the record, As Andrew said to the Lord Jesus in Bethsaida, there's a lad here. It not only may be a lad, it may be a lassie also. But here are some people, graduates now, stepping up a little further in their education, and they are, of course, extending themselves to do what is right and good in life. Their places, of course, have not yet been made, but they're going to make them. And this, of course, could be a modern-day site of Bethsaida, even with all of those who are going forth as graduates from these schools this year. But the presence of the Lord in their midst, by, of course, His transforming the power of the lives of men, although now He doesn't act in any miraculous ways, He still works through His Word, doesn't He? In Matthew 18:20, He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I'll be in the midst of them." And we can always rest assured that as long as we're walking in harmony with the Lord's authority, He'll be there. He'll not let us turn aside to those things as long as we want to do that which is right. It is also stated in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, as you heard from us, you received it not as the Word of man, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, that effectually worketh also in them that believe." So it is through the Word, not miraculous powers, that Jesus works in our lives. He's always willing to direct and guide us and to help us along the way. What potential we have for good, then, isn't it true? What talents we have granted to us by God to be used to His service. And so are we going to use those? He asks, of course, in His Word, that we use them to His glory. He says in 2 Peter 1:3, "Seeing that by His divine power, He's granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and His own virtue. But He instructs us, now you study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So here we learn, study is important, growth is important, accepting God's Word as God's Word is important, and then, of course, as Christians, Philippians 2:12, He said, "So then, my beloved brethren, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in mine absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to work according to His good pleasure. So do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you've seen as lights in the world." Is Jesus able to take individuals now and their resources and do what Paul said in Ephesians 3:20? Abundantly, exceedingly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and unto Him be glory, says in verse 21, in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Oh, yes. He's able, as Paul says, to do exceeding abundantly. Those are double emphases, you see. Exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think. So it was with this lad. He did exceedingly abundantly all that he could have possibly thought of on that day. Now, true, we have to submit ourselves in preparation. It's necessary to live and to make a living as Christians. There's no force for you to become a Christian, and yet there's no greater life for you to live. And so when we understand that is true, we realize preparation is important and necessary in life. That's the reason you've been going to school. Do you realize that Moses prepared 80 years for 40 years of work? You think 12 years is a long time in the primary school part, but then there's college and others, and you may think, well, that's a lot of time to spend in school. And it's true. Jesus prepared 30 years for 3 years of work. So it is always right to think of the preparation that is needful. And there are many Andrews or teachers that are willing to help you along the way. They want your feet to be in the right direction, and they are under the influence of Christ and want you to be. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, "Be ye imitators of me, as I also am of Christ." Follow no one, young people, and older people too, who does not follow the Lord. Paul didn't say, "Follow me no matter what I do," as some in their self-centeredness would do today. But he rather says, "You follow me as I follow Christ." And that is exactly what all must do. Young people, these are willing, these teachers are, and anxious to help you. They're willing to see you go forward. And they're willing to assist you in the process, which our loaves and fishes or whatever we may have can be converted to that physical and spiritual welfare, not only for ourselves, blessings to ourselves and also to those about us that stand in need. In Galatians 6, he said, "As you therefore have opportunity, work that which is good toward all men, but especially those of the household of faith. Who knows, my friends, but that you may do greater things than this lad did." You know, the Lord said, "I've done great things, but you'll do greater things than I." He was talking about his miracles. Yes, they considered those to be great things, but Jesus said, "Your teaching of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is far greater than these miracles, because it is to the salvation of the souls of those who will hear and render their obedience to the gospel." So even those of us who have gone before you, to whom you may look up to as being successes, all of those in this audience especially, you may do greater things even still than any of us have ever done. You may have come to the kingdom, as was said in Esther, for such a time as this, Esther 4:14. Matthew 6:33 still says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you." It's never failed. If you will do that, you will learn and do the things that are great in life. You know, Jesus promised then that we would go forward and do greater things even than He. So each of us must feel of ourselves limited in ability. Humility must be there. But we must also know that we have a few resources that the Lord can use, just as this lad did. There is a lad here. You may say, "Well, I don't have many clothes. I don't have much transportation. I have a little money." And yet, the real question is not how many clothes, how much money, how much transportation you have, but it's, are you willing to be used? Are you willing to live for the Lord? Are you willing to make your resources available to Him? Are you willing to say, "Speak, Lord, Thy servant heareth"? Romans 12:1-2 said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service. Be not conformed to the world, but be you transformed, rather renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the perfect and acceptable will of God." Are we willing to diligently apply ourselves? If we are, it can be, my friends, in following God's Word and the good examples that we find there, we'll be doers of the Word and not hearers only. We won't deceive ourselves, as James said in James 1:22, when he said, "Be you doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." There are those who are deceiving themselves tonight. They think they don't have to be doers of the Word. They think they don't have to look into the perfect law of liberty. And they've been quite satisfied to just bump through life on their own bumpers. And they don't care what the Lord says or what He has directed them in. They don't intend to walk in that. They will not study. They will not apply what the Lord says. And in their ignorance, they're happy. But you know, my friends, that's a very unsafe course. Young people should know that great men of experience and success once sat where you're sitting. And they have applied themselves, and duplications of their readiness, of their opportunity when it comes, like this lad, can be yours also. You know, it's interesting, I think, to know that the Horatio Alger Award has been given in the world because of those who are to honor those who have overcome obstacles to become a success. And they have overcome these things through diligence and industry and perseverance. And these represent and honor those who have come, as it were, from rags to riches. So when we think about that, some who have been awarded this are Lowell Thomas, and also Dwight D. Eisenhower, Bob Hope, J.C. Penney. And it may be your name will be listed in that list too one day. You are one who could go to greater things. But you know, greater than all of these are those who make an investment not just in making a living, but in making a life in Christ. That's the most important thing of all, making an investment in the church which Jesus purchased with His own blood, built with His teaching. That, of course, is the seeing of the incomparable things of treasures which are in heaven. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I shall return again to receive you unto Myself. And where I am, there you may be also. Whether I go, you may know the way." Well, you can know the way, and you can go to heaven at last. And if you're just looking at this old world, it'll pass away one day. But if you're looking beyond that realm to the things of treasures in heaven, you have a greater life still. Revelation 14:13, he said, I heard a voice saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow after them. Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have light to the tree of life, may enter in through the gates into the city. So you can see the importance here of developing yourself in all the things that God has given us to do. And wealth and fame, of course, have some privileges. They have some advantages. There's no doubt about that. But those who develop moral and spiritual patterns of behavior will have the greatest blessings here and even greater in heaven. And so we urge you, of course, to see the real fullness of those things which you're able to do. Look beyond just the things that are on your nose. Look to the things of the future where there are the blessings of eternal life. Because that's what really is important here. And if we've not worked for that, we've been a failure. If we lose our soul, we've lost it all. And so as we think along that line, remember in John 6, there is a lad here. Yes, indeed, there is. And this lad, he may have only have 5 barley loaves and 2 little fishes. But you know what? They were a multitude fed with them. And the Lord could use them. And he can use your talents, though they may be small. You can give those things in service to him. Is that someone you? Would you make the best of those things which you have? Would you be willing to use your abilities and your opportunities to the glory of God? That's the real question, isn't it? Yes, here's a lad here. Don't know whether it can be used. The Lord says it can, and it will, and he does. And not only do we see the things that are there, but we see the 12 baskets full that are picked up after that. So what are the challenges in this? Well, let's go forth not just in what we want to do, but what we ought to do. In the Lord's service, there are certain things that we ought to do. And when we realize those things and find His commands and see His directions, let us not let Him down. Be that lad that's willing to give all to the Lord if it's necessary. And then another exhortation of the New Testament is to launch out into the deep and lower the nets. And you know what? When you bite off more than you can chew, and then you chew it, you're worth something to the world. And as long as the command of the Lord is there to launch out into the deep and lower the nets, you want to obey those things. Cast thy bread upon the water, says Ecclesiastes 11:1. In other words, do and act in such a manner that you will gain great results from that. You know, whatsoever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. If we sow to the flesh, we of the flesh shall reap corruption. But if we sow into the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And here's another exhortation. Pick up thy cross and follow me, Jesus said. Luke 9:23 said, if any man cometh after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And let me tell you, young people, there is no more rewarding life than that. There is no greater life than that. No man has ever found a more welcome success than that when we follow these exhortations that are found to us in the Word of God. Dare to think positively. Dare to think creatively. Dare to always be an optimist, not a pessimist. And do always those things in the Lord's service that will make a great person out of yourself and will do for others what they need to have done. If you do, you may well be that lad or lassie whom we find here, and generations yet unborn may rise up to call you blessed. You may lead hundreds and thousands of people to obey the Lord. You may lead them in the example of right, and your life may be such an example, they will rise up and call you blessed. And not only that, the Lord will say to you in the last day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. I love Proverbs 3:3-5. Maybe it'll mean as much to you as it has been to me. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. You know what? It'll work. It's true. And the psalmist said, as we sang this morning, how should the young secure their hearts? Psalms 119:9, he said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his heart? And he said, here's the way to do it, by giving heed thereto according to His word. And the psalmist said, thy word, I have sought thee always, and thy word have I laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You can do that. You can lay up that word in your heart, live for Him who loved you and gave His Son for you, and that of course, will reward you greatly, not only in this life, but in that life which is to come. If you're not a Christian tonight, of course, you need to start there. That's where you begin. You hear His Word. You believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess the name of Christ with your mouth before men. And we'll bury you tonight in the waters of baptism because you're dead to the love and the practice of sin, and you arise to walk in a brand new life. New life is there at birth. And after that, of course, you live for Him all the days of your life. You'll be a success no matter what you don't do in the world or what you do or are able to do. But then one day, when we all gather around the throne of God to sing forever and forever His praises, what a joy and what a glory that will be. If you're here tonight and need to come, this is the time. Will you come now? While together we stand and while we sing.